So if you were going to tell someone, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I think I could probably do a membership site with what I got versus, I don't know, just a straight-up ebook or product or a course, you know, obviously some of the benefits are that, you know, you keep getting the recurring revenue. That's probably one of the biggest ones, and certainly a sense of community inside there. If I was going to try that out, you know, next week, what would be some of the steps that you would have someone do if they had great content, but they just, you know, they didn't have anything really going aside from that?
Okay, so if you have great content and you got nothing else, the first thing is just getting comfortable with the idea of, you know, kind of just being able to share. It's, and a lot of times when I talk to people, is they have all this great information, but they don't want to throw it out there. You know, it's always like, oh, somebody's going to steal it, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, yes, people will steal it. That's just how life works sometimes. But if you don't get it out there, nothing's going to happen. So you just kind of have to, you know, there's some things like that I see getting in people's way that you're just going to have to toss to the side. And on the one hand, too, there really is no original content. It's just your spin on it. And the mistake I see a lot of people make is they want to start producing content, and it's generic. You know, maybe they copy and paste it from another site or something like that. And that's the biggest detriment I see, is that if it's generic content, people are not going to be interested in that. What people are interested in is your take on the content. It's your interpretation of the content. So, maybe it's a recipe, but it's how you do it. How do you use it in your life? And, you know, it's a good example of Tim Ferriss's book, the 4-Hour Body. And, you know, a lot of publishers didn't think it would work, but what I liked about the book, it was his take on it. It wasn't just regurgitated scientific research. It was, hey, I tried this and this didn't work, and I tried this and it worked. And that stuff is priceless, and that's the stuff that people want. And, they just said, it's, to get somebody out there, it's, you know, it's, hey, here's a generic regurgitation of what you might want to think about. People want to be told, you know, how it worked. It's almost like, you know, if you and I are talking, and, you know, during like one of the mastermind groups or something like that, and it's kind of like, hey, what have you seen that has worked the best in pushing traffic to your site? You know, I'd rather get somebody's personal opinion and get your take on it than some generic book that says, hey, here's ways to, you know, get stuff to your site.
Right. Right, that's a good point. And, you and Hubert do it really well. I don't know if it's natural or if it's been, you know, developed over the years now, but you guys have, such a great almost back and forth, and the personality of, you know, Hubert's from Kentucky, and you're more of the, I don't know, how would we categorize
you? We kind of do it, yeah. It's kind of, I'm corporate guy, he's country guy. Or,
yeah.
You know, city boy and country boy, that's kind of how it's, you know, kind of fallen into. And
right.
And it works because it's all, you know, at first, you know, it wasn't originally planned like that, but we found, and it's nice kind of having, with two personalities like that, because what will happen is, you know, people will start looking at us and, you know, one person's going to look at Hubert and go, oh, gosh, you know, that accent. I can't, you know, obviously he knows nothing.
Right.
And they're going to gravitate towards me, and other people are going to be like, oh, God, you know, another damn city boy. I can't stand to listen to people that don't have common sense. Let's listen to Hubert. Whatever their preconceived notions are, you know, they're gonna put those on you. And when you have kind of two different personalities like that, what happens is you're typically able to capture interest of someone.
Yeah, it's good, and of course, the back and forth also, you know, it generates, like you're saying, it's your take on something. You know, a lot of times it's even your personality that people want to stick around to see what. You know, what is John going to rant about? What is he excited about? What's Hubert going to rant about? And that interaction keeps him there. And of course, the great content does. But
well, you know, and one thing we found too, and this is again stuff that we just learned along the way, was that, you know, at first when we'd throw content out there, we would try to, you know, just be, I don't know what the right word is, just like, okay, okay, we're teaching people how to do this, so we can't show that, you know, we've made mistakes or anything like that. And at some point, we just said, let's just throw everything out there. And what I found is that people gravitate more towards you. The more open and honest you are, the more people recognize that, and they're fascinated almost by, you know, the mistakes or the flaws, and we actually now spend more time, you know, even emphasizing that, just so people know that it's okay, you know, you guys are human, or, you know, you are going through the same things that I'm going through, and it's not having to be, you know, the kind of, you know, quote-unquote being in the guru business. It's just, hey, I'm just another human being relating my experiences to you, you know, another human being, and take this information and see what you can do with it. And that's what we found, is just, you know, throwing it all out there. People really appreciate that, because they just, you know, especially in our industry, there's so much, you know, guru-itis of, you know, the people that doing everything perfect and not making mistakes. And, you know, people, I think, appreciate that it's like, hey, you know what, let's keep it real, and this is what's going on.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I really think right now more and more people want to buy from individual people that they can connect and relate to, and that's that authenticity, that's that transparency that we see, and it's, you know, us as a small entrepreneur or the budding small business owner, we have that opportunity to really connect in a big way that big companies can't. And that's pretty powerful.
Well, it's absolutely, and I think the advantage, you know, if somebody's reading this and they're thinking of starting a business, and what you got to remember is that a big company, it's very impersonal. You know, they've got a manual that they have to follow, and a person who's in a position there will be gone, you know, in 2 years and doing something else. So it's very, very generic. As an individual, you could go out there and, you know, move, touch, and inspire people on a level that they can't. And, you know, there's a niche, and that's the thing, is that, you know, you really, to make seven figures on a website, you only need 1,000 loyal subscribers who will subscribe to you, who will buy your products. And there are 1,000 people out there somewhere in the United States or Australia or England, or Singapore or wherever, that will be interested in what you're doing. And it's just a matter of, you know, get that content out there, and then, you know, just some of the different ways to drive traffic to your site, whether it's SEO. A lot of what I find, too, is just finding other companies, thinking in terms of how you can help other companies. And one of the ways we've grown a lot is approaching different brokers and exchanges and showing them how we can help their business. You know, we can show people how to trade their products. And, you know, going at it from that approach has paid significant rewards, too. And I think that's one of the things I've seen successful in people that are starting sites, is you just go out there, and there's going to be other large businesses out there that need help. And, you know, maybe it's a product that you're using of theirs. And it's just, you know, it's like going out there and talking about it, and they'll help you get, you know, be in magazines or different things like that. And it's just one of those things that's like, you know, you start with this little snowball and you start rolling it, and it's pretty soon, 6 months later, it starts going downhill and you're off and running.
What's, you know, that's a great point. I love the piggybacking on someone else who already has customers, already has the, you know, the velocity going. So when you guys are working with brokers, give us an example of something that you guys did that worked really well for the site.
Okay, so a really good one has been, like, one of the brokers that we'll use is TradeStation, and also Thinkorswim. Those are two brokers that we work with. And so brokers cannot talk about specific trades. They can only talk about their platforms in very generic terms. They're barred from giving any trade recommendations at all. So what happens then is that their presentations are very boring. You know, traders want to know what they should do. You know, I was talking about before, they want to know, what are you personally doing? What are you thinking of? Anybody that works at a brokerage company can't do that. So what we would do is we approach both of them and would say, look, we love your platform. We drive a lot of people your way, because people always ask us, you know, what do you guys like to use? And, of course, you can actually set up a relationship like that and at least set up some kind of an affiliate once they recognize that.
Right.
But more importantly, above and beyond that, is just kind of opening up the opportunity to say, hey, how would you like your current account set to trade more often and trade more instruments so that they generate more commissions for you? And, of course, the answer to that is always, okay, well, you know, what do you got? And the proposal is always just, hey, listen, you guys send a blast out to your folks. We'll do a webinar. We will do, you know, using your platform, and we'll show how we use it and the different, you know, the different stuff that we're trading and the different time frames. And they'll look at it and like, yeah, that's great. That'd be awesome. So we can do that. We'll get an audience of, you know, anywhere from 400 people to 3,000 people, show how we're using their platform, you know, which benefits them, because now these people are going to be more active traders and they're going to generate more commissions for them. And, of course, at the end, we'll say, and if you guys want to see our free videos every night that we do on the markets, here's a link. And then they can sign up for the free videos. And then now we've got them in our funnel and can let them know about our indicators and our premium videos and things like that. And that's something that costs nothing, and it helps the broker, and obviously it helps us.
Yeah, I think that's that whole just line of thinking is so powerful, right? It's like, who else has more to gain, really, from you educating their customer base, or who else already has your customers? I'm always thinking about who else has my customers before I touch them, or you know, I need them in my funnel. And so that's, you know, that's a perfect example, is right there. They need that education, and it's only going to benefit them. It's a total win-win, and they're excited for it, I'm sure.
It's worked out really well, and it's the same thing even with the exchanges. The exchanges are even more hindered, and it's, you know, it's the same thing doing talks for them or doing webinars with them, and it's just it's phenomenal because, and I used to work at a large corporation, so I understand how they work. And if you can find somebody in a large company and make their job easier, you will be their hero, and they will do whatever they can for you. And that's what we always find is, you know, for somebody, say there's a marketing rep at a brokerage company, then when we do something, you know, we first make sure that, you know, we're in alignment with their core values, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, we're representing you, yes. And at the end of it, making sure that the customer feedback back to them and back to the company is so positive that it makes that person look like a star within the company. And that kind of stuff is gold. Because in a corporate environment, it's always about, you know,
looking good.
And,
well,
yeah,
making their life easier, like you said, and looking good and getting the
profit. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's a huge lesson right there. That's really good. That's a good one. All right, so let's talk about one more thing on the make money part. Let's talk about how you know, some best ways that you guys have driven traffic, and then let's move on to the other sections here. And we talked about kind of partnerships and piggybacking on relationships, and those are great. Anything else that you would suggest to people?
You know, for traffic, it's the partnerships are really good. In terms of just kind of getting out there, we've actually never done a lot of active things like pay-per-click campaigns, which I know works for a lot of people. And it's just one of those things where we actually have it on our list to try. But you know, it's done so well focusing on what we've focused on that everybody kind of has their niche. And you know, on our list is, you know, we should probably try this too. And the point of that is that you don't have to do everything out there to drive traffic to your site. So, you know, if you go through and say, oh, gosh, here's, you know, 20 different things to drive traffic to your site, you don't have to do all 20. You know, find a couple and really focus on them and knock them out of the park, and then you can continue to add things from that. But, you know, above and beyond just kind of that, the natural search engine optimization works really, really well. One thing we've done is we've set up a series of about 10 different WordPress sites, and we've had on Elance, over the course of the years, we've made 3,500 videos. And of course, that's not searchable by Google, right? So we went on Elance, we have 5 writers who are transcribing each video for like $7 a piece. And these are good writers. These are guys that have, you know, published books and things like that. And what's nice with this is, you know, you put these up on a WordPress site, and it just, you get, WordPress is very, very SEO friendly. And you just set up a capture, you know, just kind of a basic capture, you know, three free tips or anything like that to get them in your funnel. And that's something that we're starting to really see the benefits of. I mean, it takes about 4 or 5 months to get really integrated into Google. But now we've got, we're at 1,500 articles now and growing of original content. Each one is keyword modified. But the idea will be that, you know, when somebody searches for, gosh, how do I buy a call option, you know, whether it's a long tail search or something as simple as online trading, is that these sites will come up there in the mix and direct traffic to us. And again, it's a very low cost solution, and if you're just starting out, you know, especially if you're a good writer, you can do it yourself. But on Elance, you can get really, really good writers who will do things like for $7 and $10 an article. And just don't let, because a lot of times when people are starting out, they're starting out by themselves.
Right.
And that's fine. Just don't get caught up in having to do everything yourself. There's a lot, you know, Elance can save you and get a lot of stuff done. And if you can spend, you know, 1 or 2 hours organizing exactly what it is that you need and getting that posted very specifically on Elance, that's going to save you tens and hundreds of hours in the future of trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah, great. That's a great tip. All right, so let's move on to our next kind of big, broad brushstroke area, and that's the entrepreneurial lifestyle. To have more fun, for lack of a better word, there. what do you do, John, in your own life to make sure that it's not just business all the time? Because it's pretty easy to get stuck with an inbox that's completely full, and more projects we can handle. I mean, you and I, before we started this recording, you were telling me about all the crazy good stuff that's happened this year, and that only creates more and more opportunity and more projects you could be working on. Actually, before we go there, tell me about, since all these things did happen, and you don't have to publicly say which ones are happening, but how do you guys filter opportunities? Because I think that's a big question that a lot of
that's a really good question. Yeah, that's a great question. It's tough, and I think it's the biggest challenge is that, and yeah, some of the things that we're facing right now, and Yannick and I were talking before the call, is that we have a lot of potential nice partnership opportunities, and we have a couple of companies that are interested in buying us, and public companies, and it's just going through those discussions. And what happens is now you come across a lot of decisions that you have to make. And in terms of the partnerships, what I found is that you get so many opportunities that the filtering part of them is sometimes you just have to sometimes you just have to be brutal and just say that sounds great, but that's not my thing right now, or that's not what we're about right now, and just kind of leave the door open for a future possibility. A lot of times, quick phone calls and things like that. But the toughest thing for me, and I'm sure it's the same for you and all of us that are doing this, is that, you can add more stuff to the to-do list. That doesn't mean that time is going to expand magically so you can get it done, which is tough. And so the one thing that I found that seems to help is that if somebody does approach us with an interesting proposal, is that we figure out a way that they end up doing all the work. So it's not that, that sounds great, so we'll take this on, and now we got to, hire another person to do this. It's what's the way to do it where all we have to do is say yes and let the other person do all the work? And that's something that I found that's helped. It doesn't, what happens in a situation like this is you give up. You either give up control or income on the project. So say, normally it'd be something where, you'd get 70% of it and they'd get 30. You just say, how about, this? How about we split it 50-50 and you just do all the work? And a lot of times they'll say, okay. So that's one thing I found, and that's been a tool. And it's honestly been a struggle because it's been, the last year or so, as things get kind of busier and busier. And as you well know, too, I mean, you have two young children. I've got three young children, and you don't want to work all the time. There's life before children, and there's life after children. Yeah. And life after children, I'm not going to work, 16 hours a day away from them. I want to spend time with them, and it really does mean you have to really get kind of laser focused on your time. And that's one thing I found is just when you're bringing on partnerships, just give up some of the money, give more to them, and let them do the work.